In October 1887, Irish politician Michael Davitt left the United States to return to Erin's shores. The ship on which he travelled had a very recognisable name. It was a word that would later become a notable part of his life. It was called the SS Celtic, although it was spelled the same way as Celtic. Davitt was a renowned political figure in his day. He was not simply interested in Ireland's constitutional future, but also the land rights of working men and women across the world. He became associated with Celtic after the club's formation. It was a connection that highlighted some of the boys' inspirations in their formative years. Michael Davitt was born in County Mayo in Ireland in 1846. This was in the midst of the famine that would devastate the country. He was well aware of the poverty of the era. His family was evicted from their home and forced into the dreaded workhouse. This meant that the Davitt family eventually fled their homeland and moved to England. Davitt had a very tough childhood and began working in a cotton mill when aged only 9. And then, aged 11, disaster truly struck. He was badly injured in a workplace accident and his right arm had to be amputated. This led to him being given the chance, though, to attend school, and he later found work in a post office. Michael became interested in politics and soon joined the Irish Republican Brotherhood. This group, also known as the Fenians, was involved in radical actions to secure Ireland's independence from Britain. In 1870, he was arrested for weapons smuggling and eventually sentenced to 15 years hard labour in prison. He served half of this sentence, but was still very committed to political change. In particular, he was a key player in the so-called Land War. This event saw protests and demands for change to improve the land rights and lives of Ireland's poor farmers. This issue became the driving force of his life. One of his most significant contributions came in 1879, when he was part of the establishment of the Irish Land League, which campaigned for land rights in Ireland. However, Davitt was not simply interested in helping poor workers in Ireland. He was committed to change around the world. He travelled to various places, including the United States, Australia, New Zealand and South Africa. He was also a regular visitor to Scotland, speaking in different locations, particularly in support of Highlanders who wanted change. In this same era, Scotland had a huge Irish population. The massive influx of emigrants who had fled the devastation of famine, just like Davitt and his family, had created strong communities across the country, from places in the east like Edinburgh, as well as Lochee and Dundee, through to Glasgow, Ayrshire and Lanarkshire in the west. This Irish diaspora did not always find their new homes to be a huge improvement. As well as facing religious and national discrimination, poverty was a constant threat for them and their children. Many people hoped to fix this, and football was one part of these efforts. Most famously, in November 1887, Celtic Football Club was established to feed the poor of Glasgow's East End. However, the men who set up Celtic were not simply interested in charity, important though this was. They also had religious goals, and others were connected to Irish politics of the day. One notable example of this was John Glass, a Glasgow-born builder who descended from Donegal stock. Glass, along with Brother Walfred, were the two key men enforcing the rise of Celtic. Celtic quickly became one of the major names in football, not just in Scotland, but across Britain. Despite only first playing in May 1888, by autumn of that year, many newspapers described them as the already famous Celtic. The club had succeeded in raising funds to support charities, not just in Glasgow, but across Britain. However, others hoped that Celtic would have a wider influence than just sport and football. The appointment of the club's first patron, Archbishop Charles Eyre, was one reminder of Celtic's religious links. Some others hoped to use the club as a means of promoting Irish politics as well. Therefore, at Celtic's annual general meeting in 1889, Michael Davitt was nominated and unanimously endorsed as Celtic's second patron. This honorary title did not bring with it a specific set of tasks, other than symbolising Celtic's support for different political causes. Interestingly, Davitt followed Brother Walfred's lead on one particular issue. The two men always pronounced Celtic as Celtic. Some people, including the Michael Davitt Museum in Ireland, have claimed that Davitt actually named Celtic, but there are no contemporary sources that support this. In reality, Celtic were formed in 1887, and it wasn't until 1889 that he had an official link with the club. Davitt would be involved with different Celtic events over the years, but certainly his most well-known came in 1892, In 1888, Celtic had moved to the first Celtic Park. However, by the early 1890s, the club's landlord tried to force them to pay a huge rent increase. This was especially ironic given Davitt's involvement in campaigns against unfair landlord charges. Instead, Celtic decided to build a new ground, eventually moving a short distance to the modern-day site of Celtic Park. By March 1892, much of the ground had been built, albeit that it would not be in use until August of that year. To mark the progress of this new Celtic Park, an opening ceremony was held. On the 19th of March 1892, Celtic were due to host Clyde at the first Celtic Park. Before this, a sword-laying ceremony took place at the new ground. Davitt laid turf from Ireland in the centre of the pitch, and for this was presented with a commemorative spade. However, the turf never actually had a chance to grow. That night, someone came with their own spade and stole it. The sword-laying event also had some other entertainment. One of the invited guests was the MP Timothy Daniel Sullivan. He is best remembered for writing the song God Save Ireland, and this was performed on Celtic Park's new pitch. After the ceremony, Davitt then went to watch the Celtic vs Clyde game. And in fact, in a tradition of the time, he actually kicked it off, watched by 10,000 cheering fans. This was arguably the only excitement of the day though, as there was no goals and it finished 0-0. Even when the game had concluded, Davitt's Celtic responsibilities were not yet finished. That night, he attended a dinner in Brigton, organised by the Glasgow Football Association. This was to present Celtic with the Glasgow Cup, which they had won the previous December, beating Clyde 7-1. In his role as club patron, Davitt received the cup on Celtic's behalf. This was a significant cup for Celtic because it was one part of that season's so-called Holy Trinity of trophies. The boys won the Scottish Cup, Glasgow Cup and Charity Cup. And in the days when the Scottish League was seen as less important than the Scottish Cup, this trio of trophies was a hugely significant achievement for the boys. Davitt was obviously interested in sport. He was a founding patron of the Gaelic Athletic Association and once remarked that he didn't watch football more for fear that, if I were to be too exposed to it, I would likely to become so infatuated altogether and forget about politics. Although it's also important not to over-exaggerate his football connections. Davitt himself said that the Celtic-Clyde game had been the first game he'd seen in 20 years. This Clyde game though wasn't his last involvement with Celtic. Since he became patron, and after this 1892 visit, the club had made regular donations to different political causes supported by him. Indeed, the final Celtic game played at the original Celtic Park, which was a 1-1 draw between Celtic and Clyde in July 1892, gave its proceeds to the eviction fund that helped Irish people who were forced off their land. Over the years, there were various reports that Davitt was going to watch Celtic, whether in Glasgow or when the boys were one of their many friendly visits around Britain. Generally though, he didn't actually attend these, sometimes due to sickness. But in 1894, he was again back in Glasgow's East End. On the 11th of August 1894, Queen's Park travelled to Celtic Park, in 2 years since the new venue had been opened. Davitt and various other political figures attended, although the most notable guest that day was Michael's 5-year-old son. Whilst wearing a white hat with the name Celtic in gold letters, the young boy kicked off the game, which ended in a 1-1 draw. By now, Davitt had become a Member of Parliament, first winning an election in 1892, but not properly taking a seat until the following year. He eventually had to resign in 1895 as he was made bankrupt. To acknowledge Davitt's 1894 Glasgow visit, Celtic presented him with a cheque for £60 to support the Irish Parliamentary Fund. This was a cause to which Celtic would make other donations. The most notable of these came in 1895. The club organised a grand demonstration night to raise funds for the Irish National League. Held in the old barracks carnival in the Gallagher, this included attractions such as a monkey house, water shoot, high diving, balloon ascents and parachutists. In the modern era, many Celtic fans to continue to support political topics around the world. This was also true for Michael Davitt, and it played a role in ending his parliamentary career. In 1895, he was again elected as an MP, but resigned once more in 1899. This time it was in protest at Britain's involvement in the Boer War. This issue highlighted the political divisions which existed between many Celtic people. Some of the club's board backed the Boers, whilst others encouraged Britain's campaign, even hosting a charity match at Celtic Park to raise funds for British soldiers who were injured in the fighting. After ceasing to be an MP, Davitt campaigned and travelled, including going to South Africa, where he backed the Boers in their conflict. This led to some criticisms of his opinions on race, given Boer attitudes towards indigenous black people in the area. However, Davitt is generally well remembered as a campaigner for downtrodden people around the world. His death came in 1906, 60 years after his birth. In a sad event, he had a tooth extracted, but complications from this caused septicemia, which killed him. Although he wanted a low-key funeral, 20,000 people came out to witness his final journey back to his birthplace of Strade in County Mayo, where he was buried. Nowadays, a museum in the town remembers him. From the mid-1890s onwards, there are few references to Davitt continuing to have a direct Celtic association or even attending games. However, his role as patron serves as clear evidence of the political dimension which was part of Celtic's early years. This is evidenced in donations, public comments, and even simply the attendance at Celtic Park of various Irish MPs. In the modern era, political issues continue to lead to tensions at Celtic Park, not least between some sets of fans and those who run the club. Michael Davitt would certainly have been on the side of those people who believe Celtic exists to discuss such matters. In other words, more than just a football club. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter, X and Blue Sky. You can also take part in free Celtic walking tours. Visit celticwalkingtours.wordpress.com for more information.